All right, let's go. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to a new year of this series of Rabbi's Desk Shiurim. So thank you all very much for coming each week, Be'ez Hashem, at 7:30 to 8 o'clock so that you can make it in time for night seder. We will discuss a couple of shailas that came up over the course of the week. So here are a couple of shailas that came up. One came up actually a few weeks ago, but we haven't met in a while, so I'll share it with you. I got a text from someone that said as follows. I have a talis with tcheles on it that was from a pack that I took from someone else's house. And he wrote in parentheses, I mean I stole it when I was a teenager. So apparently he was at someone's house, saw a pack of tcheles, was like, ooh, blue tzitzis. And he decided to steal it. In recent years, I haven't worn the talis. Even more recently, I sheepishly confessed to the individual about the stolen strings and gave him back a new pack of tcheles strings as a replacement. He had no idea about this back then or now, and he said he forgave me and he accepted the new strings. What can or should be done with the talis with the original strings on it? Can it still be used, either as it is now with the strings on it or with those removed, the new ones added? Thanks. So that is shaila number one. Guy stole tcheles strings when he was a Bacher, when he was young, he tied it onto a talus. Can he use that talus? By the way, relevant sugya on that? What would the relevant sugya be? Mitzvah Bava Vera. What else? Kata, and he was a teenager. He wasn't a kata. Takaras Marish by a sukkah. Good. Good. Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda. What? There are a few. Okay, so anyway, so let's do the next shaila. Oh, okay, people are signing in now. They just didn't know how to click through. Okay, the second shaila. I was at a wedding. This is me talking. I just typed it up. I was at a wedding this week, and I was sitting at the chuppah, and another rav sat next to me at the chuppah, and he said that the previous night he was Masadar Kiddushin at a different wedding, and he said the first time this ever happened to him, he asked the chassan under the chuppah, do you have the ring? And the chassan said, nope. And he said, what do you mean, no? And he said, I lost it, can't find it, was looking all over it before the wedding, don't have the ring. I don't know why the chassan decided to first share that information under the chuppah, like at the chassan's tish, you know, maybe they could try to figure something out. No, he told him under the chuppah, don't have the ring, lost it. So now, what do you do? What do you do? Obviously, you need to use something for Kiddushin that he owns. You got to take something of value and use that for Kiddushin. The question is, what? What do you use for Kiddushin? Do you buy a ring from someone in the audience? You know, anyone selling their wedding rings? Or do you, let's say, it's customary for a chassan kala to exchange gifts in a yichud room. So he's going to give her a gift anyway. He's going to give her, I don't know, diamond earrings or something. So do you take the diamond earrings and use that as the Kiddushin? Maybe one earring for Kiddushin and you'll give her the match in the yichud room. So that is shayla number two. So shayla number one, a guy steals tcheles. He makes a talis out of it, and years later he confesses, pays the guy, the person he stole from, back, and he wants to know if his talis is kosher. Shaila number two, a Masar Kedushin at a wedding, and the chassan does not have the ring. What do you do? So all those who want will do in-person and Zoom voting. The Zoom voting will be in the chat, but all those who would like to discuss shaila number one, raise your hand. Shaila number two. So it's a little more of the shaila.
You guys are dating,
what?
You guys are dating,
yeah. Let's see. Okay, with the Zoom voting, it's even. Someone said one, and I missed the beard. I haven't seen you since I shaved. Okay, over the summer I grew a nice, like, Santa beard, you know? And then I realized I hate it. Okay, so let's get shaila number two it is, I guess. Okay, I'm dying to give that shaila number one share because it's a fantastic sugya. So if anyone ever wants to invite me to give a share about stolen tcheles, we'll do it in some other context, I guess. There's a beautiful stipler Hitler in Masechta Sukkah that you got to see. Okay, but not for now. So let's get into the. So what are you talking about? What's the issue over here with the ring? What are your? So I presented two options. Are there more options? Right. One option I presented is buy a ring from someone in the audience. The other option I presented is take a yichud room gift, or I don't know, take a coupling out of the suit and just give it to her as, because you know, something, just something that he has anyway that we know he owns, and give it to her for kesef kiddushin, or for shava kesef rather. Is there any other option that I'm missing?
Can you get a gift from someone in the audience, or like, does that work also?
What do you mean, get a gift from someone in the audience? Instead of buying it, they'll gift the ring, meaning it's worth it to save the wedding that someone is going to gift the ring. Okay, similar to buying it.
Can
yeah.
With
what?
Can you do
kedushin
with star?
Kesef star and bia. So maybe star. Just write it for star. I assume you're not suggesting bia, right? So you write it for star. So he'll write harem kedesh asli b'star zu. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Someone put in the chat over here using the stolen tzitzis for kiddushin. So you write up a shtar. Harem v'kedesh li b'shtar zu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael in front of two edim, and you give it the shtar, and that would be kiddushin, right? That would work l'chora as kiddushin. So maybe that's a third possibility. What are the drawbacks of each of these possibilities? What's the drawback of just getting a ring from someone in the audience? It has to be your ring, right? So are we so sure that it's going to be your ring, right? What if you say, we need someone's ring for Kiddushin. So someone's going to say, here, use my ring for Kiddushin. What's that person thinking? And then you're going to give it back to me, obviously, right? You're not going to, that Kala is not keeping my ring, right? So she's going to assume that she can get it back. What's the drawback of using the diamond earring that he's going to give in the Yichud room? It's hard to evaluate the price of a diamond earring, and it could be that if it's hard to evaluate the price, that you're not supposed to use something that doesn't have a clear, known, easy to ascertain price for kiddushin. So that's the drawback of that. What's the drawback of using shtar? Yeah, minig Yisrael is that we use kesef. Is that we use kesef? The Rambam writes you're supposed to use kesef. You're not supposed to use shtar. So the question is, with all these potential drawbacks, what is the best thing to do? So again, ikar adin, first mishnah maseches kiddushin, that you can be mekadesh nisha bekesef shtar ubia. And the Gemara says not only kesef also shava kesef is also included. You can be mekadesh nisha. It doesn't only have to be actual money. It doesn't have to be currency. It could be anything that's worth a shava pruta. And the Gemara says that how do I know kiddushei kesef? We derive it kicha kicha mistei Ephron. We learn it because the pasuk uses the term kicha when it talks about buying maris hamachpela. Uses the term kicha when it describes getting married. Ki yikach ish isha. If you ever want a great back pocket vart for a shava brachos, of all places to learn kicha to learn kesef kiddushin. Why do we learn from buying a burial place for Sarah? And the answer I heard from someone who no longer wants to be quoted on this because he's tired of getting all the feedback that every time I quote it, you know, people say, oh, Rabbi Leibowitz quoted you. So I'm not going to quote him. A dear friend of mine, whose name rhymes with, no, a dear friend of mine said, he has a son in yeshiva. That by Stay Ephron, if you look at what was going on, and each person said, Avram Avinu was thinking that, you know, that Ephron was thinking, this useless cave, and I'm getting so much money for this useless cave, I'm getting the best deal in the whole world over here. And Avram Avinu was thinking, for some money, I get a burial place for the Avos and Imahos, that's going to be a Makum Tefillah for centuries and millennia going forward. I'm getting the best deal in the world. This is an absolute steal. So too, Chassan and Kala, when they get married, each one should think that I'm getting the best deal in the world for what I have to offer, that I'm Zocha to such a Chassan, such a Kala. That would be the best deal in the entire world. So anyway, so hang on to that one. You're asked to speak at a Shavuot Brachos last minute, like I was this week, so you want to be able to pull that one out and have a vart. So anyway, so the kicha kicha mistayaf is where we learn kesef kiddushin. So it sounds like it's a din mida orai. So the Rambam famously describes it as divrei sofrim. Rashi quotes from his rebbeim sech ksubis daf gimel that shamati kol rabosai mefarshim de kaddish bekaspa de kiddushay Dirabbanan ninhu. That Kiddush HaKesef is only a Dirabbanan level of Kiddushin. So what the Rambam means, what Rashi's Rebbeim mean, not abundantly clear. A lot of ink has been spilled on that topic, because after all, it does seem to be Kiddushin Mida Oraisa, but certainly it would seem that it's at least Mitorish Bal Peh, that this is an emphasis. Kiddush HaKesef, somehow more so than the other types of Kiddushin, emphasizes the Torah Shebal Peh, that there is a that it's derived from Torah Shebal Peh, and probably for that reason the minig is to do kesef and not the others. Rav Shachter pointed out that's why the minig is to do shava kesef dafka, because that's Torah Shebal Peh al gabe Torah Shebal Peh. So we're emphasizing the chashivus of Torah Shebal Peh by using shava kesef, not just kesef itself. So that's why at every wedding you've ever been to, unless you've been to some certain Sephardic weddings where they use kesef, every wedding you've ever been to, they've probably used shava kesef, and at most they've ever used kesef at certain Sephardic weddings where they use coins, where they use actual currency. Now, it's not just that the minhag is to use shava kesef. There's a very specific type of shava kesef that is the overwhelming minhag to use. And what is that? It's right there on the card that you got to read when you're Mekadesh Yid. Hare at Mekadeshes Li Be Tabas. So Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So everyone, why did they print on the card Tabas? How do you know that it's going to be a ring? It could be anything that you're Mekadesh with. How do they know that it's going to be a ring? Elamai, the minig is that we use a ring. Where is that minig recorded? The Ramah in Evin Ezer, Simen Chav Zayin, Sif Aleph writes, V'chei Noagin Lekadesh B'Tabas. And if you want to know my source, says Rama, Yeshlem Tam B'Tikune Zohar. It's a Tikune Zohar. So Rav Shechter said, when I asked him about this question this week, he said that the Rama quotes that you use a ring, and he quotes some reason in Tikune Zohar that I do not understand, but then Rav Shechter said other reasons that he said he understands a lot better. What does the Tikune Zohar actually say? So Tikune Zohar says that there's one pasuk in which the letter Mem, in the middle of a word, is formed like a mem sofis. It's formed like a mem, you know, depending what you could tell what elementary school someone went to, based on how they refer to the mem at the end of a letter. It's either mem sofit, endemem, or mem sofis, right? It's for the, centrist orthodox, the mem sofis. So the letter mem at the end of the word, in the middle of a word, is a mem sof. End of word mem, and the that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Tes where the pasuk says lemarbe hamishal shalom ein kates. So Tikkun HaZohar, which is quoted in this Rama, says that the letter mem is ring shaped, and it refers to the peace and the fertility that were, because lemarbe hamishal shalom ein kates. So it's all these good things. It's the peace and the fertility we hope for this couple. And the gematria of Limarbe is Ezer and Zera. Okay, so there you have it. That so all those Ramazim, all in that that pasuk with a mem that looks like a ring, right? A samach looks more like a ring, but still the mem looks somewhat like a ring. So that's what the Tikkuni Zohar says. And that's what Shach said. I don't understand why that's a reason. Sefer Achinuch in Simtav Kufin and Beis, in Mitzvotav Kufin and Beis, suggests that since a ring is worn at all times, it ensures that a woman will constantly be reminded that she's married, meaning what people use wedding bands for nowadays is to have the constant reminder that they're married. Not just a constant reminder for themselves, it also serves as a constant reminder for other people, right? They always recommend that doctors should wear a wedding band, because there are, there are a lot of people that are always very impressed with doctors in hospitals and things like that, and may try to start flirting with doctors, and they see the ring and they know that they have to be a little more cautious. So Rav Willig used to say, I don't know if he still does, but he used to say that in an office space, in a secular office where there's a risk of having relationships that get too comfortable, he thought it's kedai for a man to wear a wedding band in such cases. And the guys asked him, do you have to wear a yarmulke in the office? He said, If it's a place where you're not going to, you know, there's reason to believe that wearing a yarmulke is going to be a detriment in terms of, so you don't have to wear a yarmulke in the office. I remember he said that when you go into the office, you put on the ring and you take off the yarmulke, and you leave the office, you put on the yarmulke and you take off the ring. But anyway, Sefer HaChinuch, that's not a psak for every situation. Certainly, most places in New York, the yarmulke is not a problem. The ring probably still could die, but the Sefer HaChinuch says that it comes with this reminder that she's married. Others suggest there are like 10 different reasons suggested for why a woman why we're makadish with the ring. Others suggest that the circular shape, you know, is signifies something that's complete, because now that they found each other, that the husband and wife found each other, they're now complete. So the circular shape symbolizes, you know, that it never ends. You know, that the relationship should continue because there's no end point to a circle. There's no end point to a ring. Likutei Maharich says that the ring is often used to combine two separate things together. He'll put a ring around a couple of, like a key ring, holds the different keys together. So we use dafka a ring because this is something that's holding the husband and wife together. Likutei Maran says that it's a symbol of fidelity. In the Otzer called Minhage Yishurin, he's just a giving a ring is used throughout Tanakh to indicate the passing of authority from one person to the other. For example, Paro to Yosef, he gives him a ring to show that he has authority over Mitzrayim. Achashverosh to Haman and to Esther at different times in the Megillah when things get a little better, right? So he gives the ring as a symbol of passing on authority. So the husband is giving his wife a ring to indicate that she is now the boss, right? That she now has authority over the household. So maybe that's a reason, Dafka, to use the ring. The Tashbitz Katan says that the word ring, Taba'as, has the same gematria as Kiddushin. Just don't check the gematria. I was at Shabbos this week and someone said like some crazy gematria that didn't work, like it was off. So I spoke afterwards. I said, I don't know why you needed that gematria. The gematria of the last name of the chassan and the last name of the kala are exactly the same. And everyone's like, what? How did we miss that? I'm like, well, it's as much the same as that guy's gematria. You know, it wasn't actually the same. But, they say, I've repeated this story recently a few times, they say that Rav Lapyansky said once that Rav Yerucham Gurelik, Zechor Lebracha, Rosh Shivi here, once spoke at a Shavu Brachas. And the thing to do at a Shavu Brachas is you say some silly gematria or something, you know, cute, some play on words in the psukim and the people's names or whatever. So Rav Gurelik did that, and Rav Elchanan was there, and Rav Elchanan wouldn't talk to him for 2 weeks. So it was a Torah joke. You're just gonna like he wouldn't. Rav Chanan was a very, very serious person. He smiled, I think, once in his life, or something like that. They say something like that. The Ragachavar in his commentary to the Rambam in the third part of the Chizishos gives a different halachic basis for the minhag to give a ring, because it says today when Kiddushin and Nisuin are done both under the chuppah, in today's daf we learned that really ideally you're supposed to have a year to prepare for the Nisuin, that after the Kiddushin it's a year until the Nisuin, but nowadays we don't do that, we do the Kiddushin and Nisuin under the chuppah at the same time, and that by the way is why we read the Ksuba. We read the Ksuba just to break between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, because you're saying a Baruch Pri HaGafen on the bracha of the Kiddushin and you're saying a Baruch Pri HaGafen on the kos that you use for Nisuin. But how could you say a Baruch Pri HaGafen one right after the other? So you want to make a break between them. So we have a reading of the Ksuba. That's what Shachter often points out, that the person reading the Ksuba should do it slowly. He shouldn't rush through. It defeats the whole purpose if you're rushing through. Sometimes people want to show how smart they are, that they know how to read the Ksuba really quickly. But that's not showing how smart you are. That's showing that you don't understand what the purpose of the reading of the Ksuba is. That's what slowly. Shachter often points out that Rav Lazer Silver Zichrono Livracha used to read the Ksuba with a whole theatrical rendition, and that if anyone would talk in the middle, he would stop, stare around the room, and start from the beginning all over again. So, meaning, if you did that today, you'd have the wedding would never end. It would just, you know, people tend. Well, I guess people don't talk; they're too busy on their phones. I told Eitan Katz, I was at a wedding the other night where Eitan Katz was playing. I said, Eitan, when I saw you here, I put my phone back in my car. I wanted to enjoy the chuppah. I think he appreciated that. Anyway, so the Ragachavar said that since it used to be Since now we do them both simultaneously, so the man has to give the woman something that will actually belong to her even after they're married, because most of the time, once they're fully married, the husband has the rights to most of her property. So he should give her a piece of jewelry because he does not own her clothing or her jewelry, and rings are pretty much the only piece of clothing that can be carried around conveniently. So he carries around a ring, which is easy, it's small, it's portable, instead of a piece of clothing. And that's what the Ragan Chopper suggests. A little bit difficult because the either way, whatever he gives her is going to belong to her while they're reading the Ksuba, and that's enough. You don't need it to continue to belong to her forever. So the Ragan Chopper brings a raya from Iran that something that he's having das to get back in a few moments' time may not be a valid giving over of something, because he's supposed to be giving over something to her. Okay, these are some of the suggestions of why you use a ring. Now, when did this become the minhag? So it seems that the use of a ring was already widespread in the times of the Gemara, and it could be even in the times of Tanakh, because there's a pasuk in Nehemiah in the 7th parak, pasuk mem vav, that talks about people who are b'nei taba'os. And Rav Sadia Gaon writes that b'nei taba'os means people who had erusin. Because b'nei taba'os, the ring people who had rings already. There's a ring on this finger, right? That means that they had erusin already. That's what Rav Sadia Gaon writes. So Rav Neuberger pointed out, I don't know if it's a raya that they customarily used rings in the times of Nehemiah, but it is a raya that they customarily used rings in the times of Rav Sadia Gaon. Because the fact that Rav Sadia Gaon was willing to understand the pasuk that way, whether it's the correct shot in the pasuk or not, but if that's how Rav Sadia Gaon understood the pasuk, then it's at least a raya that was already the minhag in the times of Rav Sadia Gaon. Now, it is critical that the ring used for the wedding belongs to the husband, does not belong to anyone else. Shulchan Aruch writes in Ebenezer, Simon Chav Ches, HaMekadosh Zisha B'Gezel, B'Gneva, B'Chamas, that it's going to be Eina Mekudeshes unless there's already Yehush Bailim. The Rama writes, maybe Gneva Sakum is different because you only have to be Machzer because of Kiddush Hashem, but not Nekar Adin. Okay, some are very makbid that the ring is fully paid for. Shechter also makes fun of this a little bit, that he thought it's humorous that Masarik Kiddushins interrogate the chassan under the chuppah. Is this ring yours? Are you sure? Did you buy it? Did you pay for it with your own money? He's like, just leave the guy alone. He's got a ring, all right? Just let him use the ring. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that you have to ask that question under the chuppah. It does say in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, that the minig is to ask the Edim whether the ring is worth a Shava Pruta under the chuppah, and the purpose of that is so that the Kali can more easily assess, meaning if the Kali hears that it's worth the Shava Pruta, we know that the Das of the Kala is that she's willing to accept it even if that's all it's worth, even if it's only worth the Shava Pruta, that she's not saying, I'm not getting married for anything less than platinum. No, she hears them say Shava Pruta, so that's good enough. I was once in an aid Kiddushin at a wedding, Masari Kiddushin pulls me and the other aid aside. The other aid was Rabbi Daniel Neustadt from currently from Lakewood, used to be Detroit, and he asked, the Masari Kiddushin said to us both, like in a whisper off to the side, does it look like it's worth the Shava Pruta? And Rabbi Neustadt said, no, not for us. Ask us that question where the Kala can hear. That's the whole purpose. And he's correct. That's what the Rama says. He asked the question in front of the Kala so the Kala can hear. That's the whole purpose of having that conversation. Rabbi Billet Shlita often makes the joke when they ask him, is the ring worth the Shava Pruta? He'll often say, even by five town standards, that's worth the Shava Pruta. One could argue that's not a great joke to make because, first of all, it's not such a great joke, because the whole point of saying that it's Shava Pruta is that the person should think, the Kala should think, that even if it's just a Shava Pruta, once you say even by five town standards, so you're saying that it's a Spitz ring, right? So one could argue that it's not. Don't worry, it's fine. Or Adult knows what he's doing. They're all married anyway. It's not. But just that's the purpose of asking. The ring should be gold, is the Mordechai Maseches Kiddushin writes, that it's best that it be gold, because gold is very easily evaluated. It's evaluated based on weight. The Mordechai writes that Ha'am Nogu L'Kaddish B'Tavashal Zov below Evan Yukara, without any stones attached to it, because Rov Bnei Adam Ein B'Kiyum B'Shuma. Most people won't know how to evaluate the cost of a diamond. Right? Many chassanim are like shocked when they discover what a diamond ring costs. and they think I wouldn't pay anywhere near that for that. And then yes, you will. But you know, they think that they can't imagine that that's what a diamond costs. But that's what it costs. Shulchan Aruch writes in Ebenezer Sim Lamral Sif Beis Yesh Omrim Shem Kitcha B'Davar Shein Bekin B'Shumasan Upamim Tovim Bem Harbei Kigon Avanim Tovos Umargolios Chiyotzi Bem Bramla Skachili Evan Zuz Sheshavin Nun Zuz Sarach Shuma Dolo Sam Chadaita. That if you say use something that has a stone that has a diamond in it, and you say here be mikdashesli with this $5,000 piece of jewelry, then you need to call a jeweler up there to make an assessment and verify a certificate of authenticity that it's actually worth that. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And yesh mi shomer says Shulchan Aruch shafilu kitchem even stam v'lo amar lo sheshavin nunzuz shrichem shuma. Even if you don't say here's a $5,000 piece of jewelry, you just say harayam kadeshesli with this diamond earring. Even that needs shuma. And that's why our minhag is that we don't use anything that has a stone in it, and that's where the Rama on that halachan Shulchan Aruch and Sim Lamed Aleph, the Rama writes that's when the minhag is to ask the chassan. To ask the Eidim rather in the earshot of the Kala, whether it's with the Shavuot, and he says, and that's also why we cover the Kala's face, so that she won't be able to see the ring. She's blindly accepting whatever the ring is. Now, there are veils and there are veils, right? Depending if you go to a Chassidish Chassan or a Yeshiva Chassan, sometimes it's very thick veil and she really can't see, sometimes very thin veil, and it doesn't really block her vision all that much. But whatever, there are other reasons for the veil as well. My dear Talmud Chaim Levtov told me that once he was at a wedding where a Ben Chaim Shlita was one of the Eidei Kiddushin, and it was a very yeshivish chasna, and the kala was wearing like you couldn't see the kala, and he refused to be in Eid Kiddushin until they lifted the veil so he could verify the identity of the kala. He said, "I have to be an Eid. What am I being made to? That he's marrying a dress? I need to be made that who the person is." So he made the kala lift the veil so he could identify her, and only then was he in Eid Kiddushin. Okay, there are also halachos about how to place the ring on the kala's finger. The common minhag is to put it on her right forefinger. In fact, I was in Eid Kiddushin recently, and I think where Meir Twersky was in Masari Kiddushin, and Meir Twersky's makbet always ask, are you a righty or a lefty? And the kala says she's a lefty, then it's the left forefinger. She says she's righty, then it's the right forefinger. And that's there are explanations given for that as well, but the pashut explanation is what the Nachla Shiva writes. Nachla Shiva says that it's the Eidim need to see it. It's hard enough to see it, like if you haven't played basketball before and you don't know how to box out a photographer, it's very hard to get a good view as an aid, as it is. So the easiest way to get a good view is the finger that points outward the most, as opposed to, you know, it's harder to hold, you know, to hold up that, it's much easier to hold up the pointer than it is to hold up the ring finger. So that's why we use that finger for Kiddush and Dafka. There are explanations why it's Dafka the right hand and not any other hand. Some suggest that the reason she uses this finger is because if you want to give her the opportunity, if she's not makabel the Kiddush, to flick it right off. And it's easier to flick it right off if you laugh. A friend of mine told me he was Masari Kiddush this week for the first time in his life, and it was a non-religious relative of his that asked him to be Masari Kiddush. Kali got the ring, she said, yay! And the ring went flying and it landed in somewhere very embarrassing, I'm not going to get into right now, but that's the minute of how you give the ring. So bottom line, now we see clearly what all the problems are, right? To take a ring from the audience is problematic because it's from the audience, it doesn't belong to the chassid. So Rav Neuberger said it probably is better to use the yichudrum gift, since there won't be any shilas about who it belongs to. If you take from the audience, so there's going to be shilas about who it belongs to and whether it really belongs to the chassid. So I said to Rav Neuberger, but what about the fact that the yichudrum gift probably has stones in it? He said, ooh, so which is better to give up on that or that? And he pointed to Rav Shechter. He said, go ask Rav Shechter. So there happened to be Rav Shiva's meeting yesterday, and crazily, I'm invited to those. So I saw Rav Schachter in the elevator in Belfort, and I asked him what he thought. He thought it's best to use a ring because that's a minhag Yisrael, and that's what the Rama says from the Tikkuni Zohar. So he said best to buy a ring from somebody present. I'm told that in certain frum wedding halls, if you ask the guy who runs the hall if they have a ring that you can buy, they keep a couple of extras around just for the, you know, these wedding halls, they don't miss a trick, and you know, they may keep a couple of extras around for absent-minded chassanim. I remember one dear friend of mine at his wedding, Rav Schachter was Masada Kedusha, said, "Do you have the ring?" And he said, "Nope. But I know exactly where it is. I just forgot to bring it to the chuppah," and everyone waited while his brother went and fetched the ring from the yichud room or whatever from the room that he was prepared in. The Rav Yitzchak Yosef says that no, take a coin. It's worth a prut. It's not that hard to use a coin, and this is aligned with Sephardic practice in many places. He didn't like the idea of using the Shulchan Aruch says beferish that if someone gives the chassan the ring as a matan al menas hachzir, then he could be mekadesh the isha with it. Problem is, you can't be mekadesh an isha with a matan al menas hachzir. Meaning, from the woman in the audience who's giving it to the chassan, that could be a matan al menas hachzir. That's enough his. It's not so pashut. In fact, it's probably not correct that he could be hareyat mekadesh zli b'matan al menas hachzir zu. You know, kadosh mashma probably does not work. It has to be matan gemurah. Then he's got to negotiate with her to agree to give it back so that he could fulfill his end of the bargain of the matan al menas hachzir. So that is not so pashut that matan al menas hachzir is a good idea in that context. So so at the end of the day, those are the different possibilities of what to do. The rabbi told me, I think in the end he decided not to use a ring from someone in the audience. They used the yichud room gift. Whatever they did, I'm sure the couple is married. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening and a good Shabbos.